listening to the Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 387. Kayla Lord's here with the only person who can have a discussion with me, and it sounds to the outsiders like we're actually arguing. John Brownstone.
It's that Italian in me.
I think so. It's also that I'm me. And once I feel safe with somebody, I'll let them know when I don't agree with them. Until then, I will not, but... we just recorded Monday's podcast episode, and we didn't disagree on anything, but there's a moment where I'm like, wow, we sound like we're unhappy with one another. We really aren't. So if you get right? that vibe, just know we really aren't. I don't know what happened there. That's not what we're here for.
No.
In this week's episode. This week, we asked for your questions over at that handle that I will forever fucking hate. If you're like, why do you hate that handle? Check some of the previous Q&A episodes, because it invariably gets asked. And I hate it, but I'll tell you this short story. The Instagram handle is hated because it is not our fucking name. And no, I can't change it. There's a whole story there. I'm not getting into it. Anyway.
Thank you. Let's move on.
Because it's not our name, and no, I can't change it. Okay, moving on. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. This is your first time listening. Yes, it's often like this, and we're glad to have you. Hopefully we haven't scared you away. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Monday and Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. You can also follow the show on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, that stands for podcast, y'all, lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram and Threads. So that handle I will forever fucking hate. Loving DS and the number one, so that's at LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. A big thanks, as always, to our kinky patrons over on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We're able to do this. That came out weird. Including our newest peeps. We're able to do this weird thing on the internet in large part because of our kinky patrons, and we are grateful for every fucking one of you.
Indeed.
If you'd like to join our kinky community and get access to extra content, like an extra video, an extra podcast, live stream, plus access to a Discord server with a bunch of super cool, super mm-hmm. nice kinksters, you can do that. Just join us at Patreon, patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes. Okay, so before we get into the questions, I just want to do two things. One, a shameless plug for our Etsy shop, because I've been adding new stuff to it. I'm very proud of me. Added new shirts, added new coffee mugs, and these are the big 15-ounce coffee mugs. I do not fuck with those little 11-ounce, like it's three sips of coffee or hot chocolate or hot tea. No, we are a 15-ounce mug entity over here, okay? So we have mugs on our Etsy shop. I just added more planner sheets. Patreon at the $10 and up levels get it for free. Patrons at lower levels get it at a crazy deep discount. But it's also just available if you are looking for digital planner sheets. Yay! Okay, Etsy. And the link is in the places. But if you're like, I do not want to go look at the places for the link, if you just go to Etsy and search Loving BDSM, we pop right the fuck up. So, yeah. Second... Not meant to be a promotional announcement, but it's a disclaimer. Most of the questions we received are about kink, DS, stuff like that. I think maybe something about us, but I can't remember. We'll figure it out as we go through the questions. However, I will absolutely have us answer questions about the Kinkery, thekinkery.com, JB's shop. Okay. So if it seems a little self-promotional, it fucking is. The question was asked. We will answer it there. Okay. Disclaimer. Okay. Let's get into these questions. But I don't know. I don't know if we'll be fast or if we will not be. Okay. First question. How can a submissive get over the age gap of someone the same age as your oldest child? So there's an age gap of someone. Is it that the age gap between you is the same amount as the oldest child, or the age gap is so broad, one partner is the age of the older partner's oldest child. Whichever way that's meant to go, there is clearly an age gap that is making somebody feel away.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I would say submissive, dumb. The question should be, how can a person? I don't think the role matters. What are your initial thoughts? I have thoughts, but what are your initial thoughts?
I don't know. That can be a tough one. It, you know, even for us in the beginning, I had a bit of a concern about our age gap.
Sure. It was 18 years, for sure, yeah.
And I kept trying to dissuade you.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Then, so this is not about this question.
Yeah, no.
We're going to have relationship therapy here. You were weirded out by the age gap and tried to dissuade me, who was not at all weirded out by the age gap. Did I check his family line to make sure there was longevity there? Sure I did, okay? I was a lot more comfortable once I realized that his family members tend to live to be in their 80s and 90s and close to or at 100. Okay, I was feeling much better at that point. But if you were uncomfortable about it, why would you have to dissuade me?
Because
it's your feeling. I was like sitting here chilling. I was like, yeah, we're doing the thing.
You're right. And, you know, I don't know what the magical moment was for it.
Okay.
But after we got to know each other and realized that we had a lot in common and we were compatible in so many ways, I didn't even really consider the age gap anymore.
Mm-mm. No. I mean, when my anxiety is anxiety-ing, really bad, when it's really bad, the worry I have about the age gap is that you will leave this earthly plane before me, which, I mean, odds are good. Odds are good. Of course, I do point out that in my family, most of us don't get past our 60s, so we kind of even out, right? but when my anxiety is high and I can't just, the worry won't shut off. My worry is always that I will lose you before I'm ready to lose you. We are not having this conversation because I'll start crying and then that'll be what I worry about tonight. But beyond that, I don't really think about the age gap, right? I think it's just not a thing. My point to this question, here are my thoughts. Let me pull it back up because I don't want to misquote anything.
Yeah.
You can't make somebody get over a thing that maybe they're a little weirded out about. They either choose to have uncomfortable feelings and stay there until maybe time after time and a little bit deeper into the relationship, you were fine with it. It stopped being a weird thing, right?
And I think that's absolutely the best point of that is that, you know, there is no magic bullet for that.
No, and a person gets to have, this is one of those times where this is preference. A person gets to go, no, that's too big of a gap for me, or that's too young of a person for me, or that, this just weirds me out a bit, and I don't want to do this. And so a person gets to decide that. If they are saying, okay, this is weird to me, but I want to explore this relationship with you, then they're acknowledging their weird feelings, but I don't want to say weird. They're not weird. They're acknowledging their feelings and saying, but here, let's find out what happens. Now, what that might mean is they go along this path and that never stops being a problem for them. And then that's an incompatibility.
Yeah.
It could be that it becomes normal to them. Either, you know, are they worried about pushback from strangers, from family members, from friends, right? Are they worried about, are they basing their discomfort on things that they have heard other people say about age gaps? Like, if there's a reason for the age, the discomfort that is not purely about this just makes me uncomfortable, and it's more of a here are my fears, here are my worries,
yeah,
then maybe there's room for a conversation about those fears and worries, and then it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
But always, yeah, always, always a person gets to go, yeah, no, that's for me. Now, first of all, I can't imagine being with anybody younger than me. I'm just not usually built that way. They'd have to come with some strong ass Dom energy, like strong. They'd have to be one of those old soul people to be younger than me and to appeal to me. That being said, when I think about it in sort of the, there's a word I wanted and I can't think of it, abstract, anybody who is close to my child's age, that's always going to be too young. If I can do the math in my head and go, I could have birthed you. For me, that's too young.
That gets to be my choice. That's a boundary for you, yeah.
Right. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that I look at other people with age gaps that I would not engage in and go, mm-hmm, oh, they're wrong. I just go,
it's not for you.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and it's mostly time and comfort if they're willing to try to work through
it. And I think a lot of what you have to think about, too, is, you know, are both of you consenting adults?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Do you both consent to this?
Right.
And, you know, if nobody is being hurt by this, and you have a compatibility with your kink, you know, if you are looking for something beyond the kink and there is a compatibility outside of the kink, then, you know, really nothing wrong with it.
Right. I think it comes down to where's the discomfort coming from. You know, if it's just a nope, this is too much for me, then that is what it is. If it's a I'm uncertain about this, but I'm interested in you, that's different. And that's time and trust.
Mm-hmm.
But then the ultimate decision can still be, no, I still don't like this.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question. How to talk to a partner about us stuff when they're having a tough time, and then they go, I've been waiting, which makes me think they've been waiting to talk about the us stuff, and the partner is having, yeah, a hard time. What are your thoughts? Because we've been there.
I don't think there is a good time.
Never.
You know, there. If you wait for the perfect moment, that perfect moment will never appear, or that perfect moment will pass so quickly.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think you have to look for the good enough moment.
Yeah. You know, and you just kind of need to sit down and talk it out.
But here's the thing. If your partner is going through a tough time and they acknowledge that they're going through a tough time and you're like, yeah, I see this. This is a tough time. It's not that you never talk about it. It's that likely you plan it a little further in advance. Instead of jumping at the time, you're like, ooh, this could be the time.
Mm-hmm.
That will probably not do any good unless it's something that they are eager to talk to you about as well. And they're coming to you to go, hey, I'm feeling good right now. Let's do this if you're up for it. That might happen. Great if it does. Most likely, though, you're going to have to go, hey, I know you're going through a tough time, but there's some, yeah, stuff we need to talk about, and I've been waiting, however long you've been waiting, and maybe it's an ongoing issue, and they even did that whole thing, we will talk about it later. There's nothing wrong with going, and you said we would talk about this later. Can we plan a time this weekend, your mm-hmm. day off, this evening, like enough in advance that they don't maybe feel like it's happening like in the next 5 minutes and they're unprepared, yeah, but not so far in advance that it's really easy to go, you know, oh, you know, something can come up or get in the way of it. So a couple of days, the following mm-hmm. weekend, like wherever you're at, and just fucking plan the conversation and go, look, right, I know that this is a rough time for you. So maybe we don't do the whole conversation, but I need 20 minutes. And I need to deal with this one issue, yeah, instead of maybe all
and,
of the
And
issues.
You know what? If the other person is going through a rough time, you know, whether they're busy at work or, you know, other things are going on, you know, make it so it's a little bit more relaxing. You know, do it over a favorite dessert or, mm-hmm. you know, a meal or something
right,
like that.
Right, go for a walk know. Together. Have time, yeah, where you're together in as stress-free of a moment as possible. Right. So, like, if you have, if you're raising children together, make sure it's not at a time when they're screaming in the background. Right? Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. If you work, like, odd schedules and maybe your schedules don't always line up, this might mean it takes a little bit longer, but look for a time when you will be together.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is very, very easy to put off a spontaneous conversation that you know needs to happen because you'll wait for the quote perfect time. And then that never, like you said, that never exists.
Mm-hmm.
Better to just approach your person and go, hey, we need to have this conversation. Remind them if it was something that's already been brought up and then schedule it.
Yeah.
And that is, it's not perfect, but it's better. You might even have to reschedule a couple of times, but eventually you can get there. Assuming that they're willing to do that with you. And if they're not willing to do that with you, I feel like you got deeper issues, is all I'm saying.
True, true.
Next question. If you could create your own personal playroom, would JB be able to build the furniture?
I think I would.
Do you anticipate, like we've talked about a St. Andrew's cross, a spanking bench, of mm-hmm. which you can get plans for those things online.
Correct.
You can purchase plans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, based on what you know about those things, that you have the tools? Or would it require a new tool?
I think I got what it takes.
I know nope. you do. I know you do. That has never stopped you from wanting a new tool. Sorry.
You know, didn't I send you that thing about the tools? About how you buy a tool.
Yes.
And you use it to do a job.
Tool math.
Tool math.
Right. And okay. Eventually it's invaluable.
It is invaluable.
Saved you tens of thousands.
Saves you tens of thousands of dollars. Right. And with that money that you saved, you buy more tools.
Right. But we're broke. So no, we do not do that. No. We can't even put our thermostat on the temperature we want it on.
I know,
okay.
Right? Yeah.
No. But
with what I currently have, I would feel comfortable to say yes.
Okay. With the skills you have as well. You feel like you've got what you need, you could do it.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. This one, this question is sort of a big, broad question, so we will not be able to give a complete answer because that would be a whole episode, but we will do our best. I have just discovered at 45, female, that I'm into BDSM and definitely a service sub. How do I get started?
Say that again?
I'm 45, female, and I'm just figured out I'm a service sub and into BDSM. How do I get started?
Find a munch or a community and...
You always want to send people out into the wild. Oh, you just learned what the letters BDSM stand for. Go to a munch. And I'm over here like, I want you to find some videos, podcasts, a blog, a book. I would like you to educate yourself. So basically, you could do both of those things or pick the one that actually fits your personality. Some people are extroverts, and they're like, you're telling me there are meetups and I could go both eat a delicious meal and meet new people. They're there for it.
And discuss kinky things.
They're there for it.
Yeah.
That's a great way to get started.
Right.
For the rest of us normal human beings who are like, hell no.
I think you have that flipped.
Anyway. My advice for the person who's not going to run out to a munch on their first day in kinkdom is to keep learning as much as you can. And learning can look like a lot of different things. I mean, it is okay. You know you're a service sub. Well, maybe you learn mm-hmm. more about what that can look like and what that can mean. there is just learning what BDSM means. Oh, here's a shameless self-promotion. Shameless. We have a workbook on our Etsy shop called 30 Days of DS. It's the very first thing we ever made. And it's been refined and improved over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is designed specifically for the newbie who's like, I don't even know what I don't know, right? Because when you realize you're kinky and you're like, oh, there's this entire world of BDSM, trying to learn about it can be like drinking from a fire hose. Like, it's just too much coming at you all at once. With 30 Days of DS, we broke it up into 30 days, but it could take as long as it takes, with prompts and concepts you can piece by piece, start figuring out what these different concepts are and how you feel about them. So that's one way. Find something like that. As somebody who's submissive, as this question indicates, there's sites like Submissive Guide, which is a great one, specifically for submissives. There's the New Bottoming Book, which isn't just for submissives, but there's definitely plenty there. If you know you're not great at communication, go ahead and just get Tongue Tied by Stella Harris. And improve your communication skills.
Excellent, excellent.
Because you're going to need them. Somebody said in the live chat, ignore FetLife Dom DMs.
Yep.
You can go on FetLife. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. but you're probably going to want to ignore most of the unsolicited DMs you get.
FetLife can be a double-edged sword of sorts, okay? There is a lot of great information on there. Groups where you can learn things about, you know, being a submissive or, you know, different aspects of being a masochist. And anything you want to learn about, you can pretty much find it on FetLife. The other side to that, it is a social media site, so you're going to get all the caca that comes along with that.
Right, and it's going to be more nudity because at least on the non sexual social media, they technically don't allow it, mostly except for Twitter, because Twitter is Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so you just see less of it on like a Facebook or an Instagram or wherever, but on Fat you are guaranteed to see all of the body parts. And that's fine, people can do what they want on their own page. It's more of the, you know, get somebody sliding into your DMs and being grotesque.
While FetLife in and of itself is a good tool to use, you know, you also have to learn about block button and, you know, ignoring folks.
And on every social media channel.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Okay. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever wish you were vanilla? I live the vanilla life, and I have completely rejected it.
Same.
No. I'm so grateful that I'm not living that life.
I had to think about it for a second there, but, you know, yeah, no. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. Nope.
I am more fulfilled as a human being. I have a better relationship than I've ever had, ever. My communication skills have just gotten fucking better. I know more about myself than I ever thought possible. I feel more myself than I ever thought possible. It's all because I went, oh yeah, I'm kinky, and let's go figure out what that means. And then to be in a relationship with somebody who is my complementary counterpart, and even when it's rough, it's still fucking worth it, and, you know,
yeah,
it's still better than not being together and not being kinky. So yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, Silent mentioned you're not safe from DMs, you know, on FET, you know, Instant Tumblr.
All of them.
My Twitter
DMs are grotesque as well.
If you, you know, are on one of those spaces and you identify, you know, as in either way, shape or form as kinky, you're going to get messages. You would not believe the amount of messages I get on Instagram asking me to submit.
So adorable. It's like they don't read bios.
Right.
Okay. Next question. How do you budget for kink or cost save for quality products and items, leather especially? Like, how do you budget for your kink stuff, your products, your toys, your...
Just like anything else.
Make our own.
For the most part, we make our own on a lot of the things, but it's no different than budgeting for, say, like, you know, for a coffee allowance.
Sure.
You know, for the month. You know, you take, it's like anything else. You see something you want. You know, yes, quality toys are not cheap, you know, and you maybe have a swear jar, you know, my gosh, if we had a swear jar in this house, every time this one dropped an F-bomb, we could buy more shit than
we don't have enough money to cover a swear jar. Yeah. If we had a swear jar, maybe I could set the thermostat at 72 year round. Just saying.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, kind of factoring into your budget.
Right. And it's a matter of figuring out what's important to you in terms of what is it you really want, right? And what you can afford. So you're going to have to look at your own personal budget. What's your income? What are your expenses?
Right.
Is this something that you save up for long term? That's one thing. I recognize anybody who cringed at that because they're impatient. I, too, am impatient. I have and I can't always do it, but I have a little auto savings thing. It's $10 a month. It just goes over there. What am I going to do with it? I don't know. It's just happening. It's just going over there. And if I think about it too hard, I will be very impatient. $10 each month is not a lot, right?
Yeah.
Maybe for other people, it's $10 in a week. It's $100 in a month. You just put it to the side somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do an auto transfer, whether it's straight from a paycheck or straight from a bank account, so you don't really have to think about it. And then it depends on what it is you're trying to purchase. If sometimes we will always advocate for spend a little extra, get something that's designed to last long term. However, we are also broke bitches, so sometimes you just buy what you can fucking afford. Is the thing you want available at a lower cost, and is the fact that that might be lower quality, it might not last as long, okay with you? Like, if something could last a couple of years and it be $20, get the fucking thing for $20 if you have it. And the thing you really want that's going to last your lifetime is $200, save up for it, right? I am not above, we don't do it anymore because we're people and kids and a mortgage and all of that. But when if you happen to get a tax refund, we do household stuff now. We're those people. But sometimes that's the time you go, ooh, I can pull some money from that and I can get some kink toys. And this is my big purchase and my big splurge for the year. Maybe you get a bonus at work. Do corporations still give bonuses? I don't know. But maybe you got one, right? Like a little bit of extra money fell in your lap and you're like, what do I do with it? If you don't have to put tires on your car, then maybe you can buy the kink toy. But it's no different than any other expenditure. It's just, I think it feels a little bit more fraught because it's tied to our pleasure and our desires and our kinks and the wanting to do the thing yesterday. Why can't I have the toy already?
Yeah.
Kind of feeling. So, Rara's mentioning she's teaching a class on pervertibles at the end of March. Pervertibles are also a great alternative if there is no budget or while that's you true. Save up for the
in
thing
the,
that
in
you
the
want.
Meantime, yeah.
Right. So, okay. Next question. How do you fulfill your sub duties when sick? They're recovering from COVID, so that's where their question's coming from.
Okay.
I fucking don't. It depends on what kind of sick. If I'm the sniffly, just kind of vaguely sort of, I'm going to do as much as I can, but I'm going to let JB know how I feel. If I don't think I can do something, even if I'm doing other things, I'm going to say, hey, I don't think I can do this. How do you feel about that? JB being JB, he's going to go, don't. He might, even if I'm just a little sniffly, tell me to sit my ass down and don't worry about anything.
And that... But yeah, there have been times I've told her to sit her ass down, not to move,
right?
And she is done until she's better.
But that's the thing. If I'm sick, especially if I'm the kind of sick where I don't want to move or I can't, I don't have energy or I have to use all the energy I have just to like do the things that I have zero option on, raising a kid, you know, doing a work thing, whatever, whatever, then I'm not worried about doing my submissive stuff. And I have a partner who is not worried about me doing my submissive stuff.
No.
We are not doing rocket science or brain surgery over here. There is not a fucking thing I do as a submissive that is so important that I can't, that it's impossible for me to take a break.
Right.
We just, serious, but it's not that
serious. I look at it this way and, you know, I can understand your feelings about, you know, being submissive and wanting to do what you do as a submissive for your person. I know that because I see what this one right here sitting next to me does, you know, but if she is not feeling well, the last thing I want to do is have her try to do all the things she's supposed to do because one, it's not going to be good for her. It's going to take away from her getting better. And two, not feeling good like that, I know she's not going to perform up to 100%. want her to get better, fully better, so that she can do all the things and not be miserable doing them.
Right. And I'm going to give serious side eye to any submissive out there who has a dominant partner who is not going to understand that you're sick and you what you need is rest and to get better. Mm-hmm. And your tasks, your duties, the things that you've agreed to do sometimes just have to
right
pause for a beat.
Yep.
Because if I'm not allowed to get better, then I don't get better. I actually get worse. And then that's that much longer that I can't
right
fully do the things that I would like to do that I've agreed to do. So yeah, that's mm-hmm that on that. Yep. The next question, Kayla, how do you balance being a mom, living your daily life, and being a submissive? I'm going to say 90% of the time I don't. There's no balance. It's a seesaw, okay? The moment I'm focusing on one thing that needs me and that seesaw goes down, the other thing goes up, whatever, it just flies off into space and there's chaos and I run yeah to the other side and I pick that up. As a submissive, most of what I do as a submissive is completely interwoven into most of my daily life. Not my mom stuff, but like just living life. So I don't really have to balance that part. The imbalance and the fact that there is no balance is there's my life as a submissive and just living life. There's the mom life and there's the business owner life. And there is no fucking balance there at all. It is juggling while spinning plates, while riding a unicycle. Okay. Add in a little bit of chaos and like the universe going, I would like to see how much more you can handle. So unicycle over this banana peel. Then it's even less. So I do try to prioritize day by day. Sometimes it's hour by hour.
Mm-hmm.
What do I have to focus on in this moment? It makes me crazy. It is crazy making because there are days where I'm like, I would really like to focus on doing these things around the house that, you know, are just part of living in a home and also make me feel good because I'm taking care of the family. I'm taking care of JB. I would love to do these things. But also, I have a kid over here who needs help with math homework. And I have a kid over here who needs somebody to attend his band concert. And I have a business thing over there, right? Like, so there are days it's hour by hour I'm picking. And then most of the time when it's not too weird around here, it's just a day by day thing where who gets the bulk of my attention and focus. And the thing that makes it very hard for me and I struggle with is I cannot create a routine around that, and I don't like that. I thrive with structure and a good routine, and the nature of our current life is every day is so different that it is stressful to me sometimes, and I just do the best I can any given moment of the day. So yeah, that's probably not at all helpful, but it is the honest answer. Okay. Somebody said more candles, we want more candles at the Kinkery. I'm working on it. Okay, see, that's a shameless plug. thekinkery.com, we have wax play candles, soy and paraffin. Yay. Okay, next one. How can a learning Dom find themselves more comfortable when starting a scene? So a newbie Dom who's still figuring things out, not comfortable mm-hmm starting a scene. How do they get there?
You know, one of the things I did early on was I used to run scenes through my head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, well before we played or did anything, I would, you know, start mapping it out in my head.
Yeah.
And just kind of, I mean, just from inception to, you know, what I'm thinking about, into going into good detail with it. And I think by doing that and running it through my head like that, it kind of reinforced me. It's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. This can, you know.
This is the thing I'm going to do.
This is the thing I'm going to do.
How, especially when you were newer at this, how did you reconcile? You had kind of run through it in your head of how you mm-hmm thought it was going to go. And then invariably, when reality struck, and it didn't quite go according to mm-hmm your internal plan, like, how did you feel about that? How did you adjust?
I think in the beginning, early on, it upset me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, you know what? It's never going to be perfect.
Right.
And you know, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Right. I think that just comes with time and confidence.
And that comes with time. And, you know, the more you do it, it's like riding a bicycle, you know, muscle memory. That's what you want to build,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's more than just a physical muscle memory. It's that mental muscle memory as well.
Sure. I have noticed, and I don't know if you do this, and maybe I read too much fiction, but I'm here for it. maybe you have done it, and I just didn't know, because I can be oblivious. A thing I've noticed that DOMs sometimes do, and I there's all kinds of reasons they would do it. Mm-hmm. One of those would be to signal a start to the moment, and also to give themselves time to, like, take a breath, is they get their submissive into some sort of starting position. And that might be mm-hmm. pre-negotiated. It might be a command given at the start of the scene, something that indicates the scene is starting. And you, I know you love to do this. I don't know your reasons, but I know you love to do it. You'll have me get into a position
mm-hmm.
and then just leave me there for, to me and my impatient brain, it feels like I'm there forever. It's like a minute, if that. Is that...
It's the building of anticipation.
It's the, what will she do when she gets really impatient? How can I then, you know, air quote, punish her for getting impatient? I know what it is. It's part of the game. But have you ever used a moment like that or heard of somebody using a moment like that just to, like, as the Dom, kind of get yourself together, take a beat, breathe, go, okay, they're there, we're starting.
Mm-hmm.
What do I want to do first?
Yeah.
Like, am I just made that up in my head or read too much fiction, or is that like a potential strategy?
I wouldn't say I do it all the time, but I have done it
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
at times, yes.
Right. And I think that, you know, having those moments to remind yourself that you are in control here, your submissive is given their consent for you to take the lead, and then they go do this, the first thing you tell them to do, right? Get on your knees, bend over the bed, take your clothes off, like whatever. I think that's the start of these little steps that build confidence. Because I think there's also that, in my mind, a scene, and not mine, the mm-hmm. generic my mind, scene, it's this really complicated, complex, all these moving parts, things, blah, blah, blah. And that can be very overwhelming for somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience with a scene like
True.
That. And a scene can literally be one action, a few right. words. Like, it doesn't have to
I was going to say, you know, especially if it's for someone new, don't make it so elaborate,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're overwhelmed. Start with a small scene. Just do a spanking.
Right.
Okay? You know, and that's all it takes. And from there, you add a little bit until you get to where you want to be.
Right. We've had scenes, and I don't know if it's because you were tired. I don't know if it's because you were like, I want to fuck around, but I don't have any ideas right now. We've had scenes where most of it was just you telling me to do things and watching me do them. You know, take off your clothes, mm-hmm. kneel when these knees would still let me, yeah. crawl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you were not even doing anything major. I wasn't doing anything major. It was you sort of quietly exerting control
Correct.
And me doing what you said. And it might be 15 minutes. It might be an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a scene, and there wasn't any equipment to it. There wasn't any role play or dirty talk. You didn't Mm-mm. have to do five different kinks at once.
No, like, no.
And when you're still learning and you're trying to build your confidence and you haven't done a lot yeah. of scenes, start simple. Start
right.
it. Yeah. Don't worry about that's the major production yet.
That's the best way to build your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start small. If you try to do too much, you're going to overwhelm yourself, and that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one.
All right.
For DOMs setting boundaries, why does it hurt different when a sub chooses to breach those boundaries? So I'm going to go ahead and insert myself and say, I don't think a DOM being, you know, a sub not doing whatever or a breach of trust
mm-hmm.
from a sub is somehow worse or better than when a dom does it. I think it's more about the power exchange and when a boundary is, you know, ignored in power exchange or when there's a problem in power exchange. I think most of us would probably agree that it feels somehow deeper and more hurtful than a non-kink relationship. I think that's a common thing that a lot of us have expressed before. Right. But from a dom's perspective, what would you say?
Give me the question again.
For doms setting boundaries, why does it hurt different when a sub chooses to breach those boundaries?
Well, you know, when breach boundaries like that, it's a break of trust. It, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, and I'm don't know how they mean this question per se, because there's two ways I think you look at it. You know, as your dom is your daddy, I set a boundary for you.
And then I go off and do whatever the fuck I want.
And you go off and do whatever I want.
Could not be.
All right. Or, you know, it could be I have a personal boundary.
Right.
All right. And I tell you, you know, this is it. This is something
you're not allowed to do. Not allowed, with me. You know, I'm not going to accept.
Right. And you cross that line.
Right.
So, I mean, that's two possible ways of looking at this question.
Absolutely.
But either way, it's a breach of trust.
Right. You can't. How do you trust the person who just walked all over a rule or a thing they agreed to do or not to do?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's the same thing. And I'm going to use this as an example. And I've used it as an example in the past. It's the same thing as going into a scene with somebody and, you know, having things set in place. You know, what's your safe word? And tell me. And even though they should have, they don't use the safe word.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. You know, that is a big...
Right. It breaks trust because then you then cannot depend on that person to not do that in the future. Right. I get it. And the question about why does it hurt worse? Again, let's go back to this is not unique to subs, you know, hurting their doms. It goes all the ways with all of these relationships. And I think that why it feels like it hurts worse if you're comparing it to previous non-kink relationships is that what we do to create a power exchange that is hopefully happy and healthy, right? Or is trying to get there, feels and often is more in depth than what we do for non-kink relationships. Now, should non-kinky relationships stay that surface level? And no, we should go that in depth with all kinds of relationships. Yeah. But in general, we don't. And most of us, our first time really clearly communicating needs and wants and desires and boundaries and getting that kind of communication in return and getting that level of trust with another partner, for a lot of us, the first time we get that is in power exchange. So when somebody violates that, it can be heart-wrenching because you're like, wait, we did all the work. I gave you all this trust. I depended on you to do the thing you said you would do, and this is supposed to be different from a non-kink situation. And this is heartbreaking.
Right. And that's what even makes a DS breakup.
Yes.
That much more intense than other relationships at times. You know, when you go into a DS relationship like that, if you're doing it right and you're communicating and you're building the trust and the respect, you also allow yourself to be very vulnerable.
Yeah, it's soul-bearing, okay? For sure.
And when you allow yourself to be vulnerable to those levels, yes, it can.
Right. It's a big risk, big reward when it works and when everybody involved take that vulnerability and intimacy seriously. It's fucking amazing. And when somebody fucks it up, right? By not being trustworthy and not having integrity or whatever the situation is, then it's the opposite end of that spectrum. Then it's the most heartbreaking thing you've ever gone through in your life, right? Yeah. And that I think I agree with you completely. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
That does not mean you should not be vulnerable with the next partner. It does not necessarily mean that the relationship cannot be salvaged. You know, Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's a step too far. Sometimes it's this wasn't your first time. You keep doing this. Sometimes you were getting played by, you know, a fake, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those things happen. But sometimes it's because somebody fell back on old habits and you know, not great behaviors. And sometimes it's a miscommunication. And sometimes it's whatever. And I think it's okay if you go, I don't care that this is understandable and I know why you did this. I can't continue this. That's valid. I am that kind of person most of the time. But it's also okay to go, okay, can we talk this out? Can we try again? You know, the scary thing, and I tend to see this mostly in submissives, I'm sure it happens to doms, but I don't really see it that often, is sometimes we give our partner too many chances and we give them too many opportunities to cause harm, and they do. And we get stuck in this, but this is the only person I'll ever get to be my dom or sub, and so I guess I'm... No, that is never true. Scarcity thing, no. There's somebody out there. They will almost never be, like, in a drive... within driving distance. They just... they will be on another continent across some large body of water, but they will be out there. So, okay.
Yeah, I finally met somebody with compatible kinks, and they're four time zones away.
Right. Right. Didn't say it would be easy, but I do believe they're out there.
Right.
Okay, next question. This is about the Kinkery, shameless plug. Kinkery.com. Do y'all make every cane to order, or do you have a stockpile you pull from? If it's a wooden handle, we pre-make those.
Right.
Except when we're sold out and I'm waiting on JB to make more.
Right. Huh, is that a hint?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yes, I'm out of quarter inch cane.
Yes, I know. Okay, so, you know, yeah, the wooden cane handles...
So it's white Delrin is the cane, and then the handle is wood.
Is wooden. You know, yes, those are made ahead because those are pretty standard. As far as the resin handles, though, those are made to order.
Yep.
Okay, once we get an order in and folks have chosen their colors, that's when the clock starts.
Right, and those are... Yeah, those because you pick your colors. If we're making a... So if you didn't know, at thekinkery.com, we sell canes. Mm-hmm. We sell two sizes, and we sell two variations.
Right.
The two sizes are quarter inch. That is going to be a very whippy, very stingy, very burny fucking cane. And 3/8, which is thicker, so not whippy, but still burny, because that's what canes do. But it's also got a thud to it. So of those two sizes, we sell two variations. Mm-hmm. One with a wooden handle. Those come pre-made. One with a resin handle, where we pour that cane handle once you order it, because you can pick your colors. You can pick one color. You can pick up to two colors. So
okay, and there was a kind of a follow up question asked in the chat to this. It says, is it because demand is so high that you do customs? Not necessarily. In the beginning, when I first started playing with the resin handles for the canes. I picked some colors, I poured the resin and did that. And we did do, you know, certain colors. And it got to the point that people were like, well, can you do these colors or can you do those colors and this? And it was after some discussion, rather than make a bunch of handles and have them sit and... come, you know, to find their person, and resin is expensive, mica is expensive, we decided to go ahead and do it as custom orders. That way we pour the resin as we need it, and people get to pick the colors they want.
Right. It's
right off the bat.
We are, and probably will be forever, while the Kinkery is in existence, our unlimited space. We are also limited in manpower. It's just the two of us.
Right.
I'm not allowed to touch a blade because I like having all my fingers. Thanks. So certain things that we can make in advance and just have stocked, we will absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Certain things where we want to give people choice, and we also don't want to make a shit ton.
Right.
And then not, you know, it never move. Then we do it like that. Resin was an easy one. I'm actually thinking of doing that with another... product we have where color is involved, so people can just order the fucking color they want. But So our Canes, Canes, crack me up. We're an impact play is our main thing at the Kinkery.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly paddles, but it's not all paddles. And Canes crack me up because we'll go like weeks, nobody buys a cane. And then in like a week and a half, everybody buys canes.
Flying
and then
out
we're
the door.
Sold out again. And we're like, wait, what happened there? So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. So, you know, and it, same thing with the resin inlays, you know, in the beginning tried, you know, doing a few and putting them up on the site and people were asking, you know, is this color available? Is that color available? Can you do it like this? And we just figured at that point it would be easier to, you know, say, okay, it takes X amount of time to do this,
right.
You know, sell it as a custom and you pick your colors.
And actually, because there's a... It's reproducible. It's mm-hmm. the same size of paddles. It's the same design resin inlay. And it's the same standard colors. We actually don't price it quite like a custom. It's made to order.
Yeah.
Custom orders, we just, I just promoted one on social media at the Kinkery in most of the places where they ordered a resin inlay paddle. So for anybody who's like, what the fuck is that? It's a wooden paddle. JB cuts out shapes through the width, thickness, whatever of the paddle, and we fill that with resin. And we the most popular one is the Moon Phase. Thank mm-hmm. you, Silent, for being the very first person yep. to ever receive that one. X is the one that ordered it, but Silent's yeah. paddle. this person said, I would like the wood to be black, like stained black. Mm-hmm. I would like the Moon Phase to be gold. Well, we do not standard offer stained wood and gold as a color. Right. That was a true custom order, and mm-hmm. based on having to source the supplies, the extra time it would take, and whoo, staining that wood did take extra time,
yeah,
and all the extra things, that becomes a true custom order, and that price is not the same price you see on the website. No. Made to order gets a standard price because we know how that we know how long it's going to take, we know what it's going to take. We're telling you what materials we have, the colors, the designs. Done. This is your price. So that's made to order. Then there's custom where it's like, what do you want and can we do it? We get custom requests all the time that we're like, that's a really cool idea. We literally cannot do that. We do not have the tools. We do not have the skills. That's just not even fucking possible. Like, so yeah. So that's also the difference between custom made to order and
true,
then ready-made. Ready-made is the stuff we try to keep mm-hmm. in stock. And like our canes with wooden handles are ready-made when we have them.
And see, so. That's why I keep you around. Mm-hmm. I go out in the shop and I just make, and, you know, you do all the good stuff front-facing. So. Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to double-check, but I believe that was our last question.
Okay.
Saying that, we will take a couple of, and couple, mm-hmm. y'all, is in the two range, maybe up to three, from the YouTube live chat to ask a question on YouTube live chat and get an actual answer. Sorry, I got sidetracked and I can't talk and think at the same time. Please tag us at LovingBDSM because mm-hmm. it lights up for us. It should not be a long question. If it takes more than one little chat box to ask the question, that's too in-depth. You can use our contact page on our website.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Feel free.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Okay.
We have...
That wasn't too bad. We got through questions fairly well.
I know. There were several. And, mm-hmm. like, I felt us potentially going off on tangents on a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of reeled ourselves back
mm-hmm.
in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it a few minutes. If no questions come through on live chat, no worries. We can do a bonus section.
We'll head to the bonus section. Got stuff to talk about.
Right. A plug for people who have questions. We have a Monday episode. It's audio podcast and YouTube video where we answer a question. And those we'll go a little bit more in depth on.
Yeah.
We have had videos that were as short as 10 or 11 minutes. We have had videos that were as long as 30 minutes.
Yes.
But they are never as long as this
episode. No.
And that's where it's like, okay, here's my highly specific question. Here's all of the details. This Monday of the week of recording, that question was several hundred words. And we read it.
Yeah.
And that's what we use those videos for, is to like really dig deep into
right.
A question, because sometimes your situation truly is like the details are very unique, but the situations tend to be a little bit more universal, and somebody else will go through something similar. We did get a question in the live mm-hmm. chat about the March Virtual Munch, mm-hmm. which is a Friday night live stream hangout thing we do mm-hmm. on YouTube. And yes, it is March 15th, Friday, March 15th, starts at 9:30 PM Eastern. We take questions during that as well. We right. talk about whatever comes to mind, mm-hmm. Random stuff. I mean, we've talked about alcohol. We've talked about pie.
Bacon.
There was the great bacon debate.
Yes.
And I still contend that half of y'all were wrong. The superior bacon is crispy. So sorry.
Soft.
No. The superior bacon soft. Should crunch like a chip in my mouth. I don't want it burnt. I will eat it burnt. Mm-hmm. I don't want it burnt, but I will eat it burnt.
Don't want it raw, but there's that sweet spot nope. where it's not.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. No. So those are the things you miss if you don't go to the live stream. We do it once a month. Tends to be the third Friday of the month.
Yeah.
Life can happen, and it's, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. shifted, but most of the time it's the third Friday of the month.
All right.
So yeah, and it's random, and sometimes it's a pajama party. We are in our PJs, yep. and yeah, it's just it's been a hot minute since we've had an adult beverage at a stream. We have never taken an edible and then done, or edible for me, you smokeable. We could do that sometime. I mean,
no.
Why not? Is it because your eyes don't open all the way?
The strain I use
puts you to sleep.
Is for relaxing, and it puts me to sleep. So all I do is sit here, and my head would start.
Actually, I saw you last night after you smoked. I took my gummy, and I was like feeling good, and you just sat on the couch and stared into the middle distance in one direction, and then you would go back to your phone and watch reels or play your game, mm-hmm. and then you'd look up. And just stare at another angle. And I was sitting on the other couch trying to read my ebook, and eventually it just became like words fluttering past me. I was like, I don't even know what these fucking words mean. So then I guess I started staring into the middle distance, but it was in your direction. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So it sounds to me like either... Because we did, we're about to try the third type of gummy for me. Mm-hmm. The first one we got is so funny. It was called Knockout, and yet we were then shocked when it literally knocked me out. Down for the count. The next one we got was a hybrid that it makes it easier for me to sleep. It's just I'm very relaxed, but I'm not like about to fall over and fall asleep like the Knockout does. Now we have, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's the one that's not supposed to make you sleepy. It's supposed to, like, help you, like, not be so anxious and just help you relax mm-hmm. a little bit. But I really think that my problem is that I am never actually relaxed. And so once I am relaxed, even if it's through artificial means, the only thing my body knows to do is to go, oh, we're tired. We have relaxed, and now the only thing left to do is go to sleep.
Yeah.
So you could take that gummy with me once we actually test it out on our... We bought it, and I haven't tried it yet. Because mm-hmm. I don't... If I'm going to try a new gummy, it's going to be on a day where I do not have a lot of responsibilities because I don't know how it's going to affect me. Mm-hmm. And since this one is not supposed to be a sleepy one, I need to take it earlier in the day because my fear is what if that hypes me up so much that I then can't go to sleep, then I'll be pissed. But I do think my body is so unused to just relaxing that it's like, oh, we've relaxed. It's clearly mm-hmm. time to just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. Is it legal in Florida?
I mean, we buy legal things. Like, yeah. I'm not. We don't.
Yeah, you can get a medical marijuana card,
which is not what we have,
right? And also because of a kind of a loophole in Florida law is basically what it comes down to. There are two strains, Delta 8, Delta 9, lower THC content than what you would get through a dispensary, mm-hmm. but it can be legally sold over the counter.
And I was very skeptical of that. I was mm-hmm. I was the old person type who was like, oh, they'll just say anything to sell a product. It can't be real. It can't be real. And then JB tried, he smokes. I do gummies because I'm not smoking shit. And that effect was real. And then, of course, I did the thing that is, it's almost a trope now. And it's comedic. A person who's never taken an edible takes a whole one or starts out taking a fine dose and then goes, nothing's happening. And then they take the rest. I took a knockout gummy. And if you don't know, the words are there. Knockout.
Yeah.
Lays you flat on your ass.
Mm-hmm.
I took the whole fucking thing.
She was done.
Y'all.
I poured her into bed that night.
I could not hold my body up. I would start to drift because it was knocking me out. It was making me want to go to sleep. And I would just start to fall forward in whatever position I was in and then just hang there. But also, I felt like I could feel every nerve ending under my skin and like it was buzzing like static on a TV. And also, like, if I could hold a thought, I felt like time travel because something would either take 30 seconds or it would take 2 hours, but actually only 5 minutes had passed. Was fucking wild. I very rarely take that one. That one, even though I only take like a quarter of it now, the one I take now makes me very giggly. But I do go to mm-hmm. sleep. Once I'm laying down and the lights are out, I'm asleep. So now I have the new one to try to see what it does. Okay. So, we did not get any more questions, so we'll go to a bonus section.
But at any rate, it helps me a lot. I carry my stress in my back.
Yes, which is already jacked up.
Which is already jacked up as it is. And I have found that, you know, on days when I've had a very long day, when I've been on my feet a lot, having a little bit of smoke helps relax me, unwind me. Mm-hmm. And I actually sleep better at night.
Yeah, you do.
So... that for me it has been a big boon, especially with my back.
Yeah. I forget it exists most of the time. Like I don't ever think, oh, I would like a gummy today. Mm-hmm. It's usually JB going, I'm gonna go smoke a bowl, and I'm like, hey, yeah, I'll take part of a gummy. I would like to fall asleep mm-hmm. easily tonight. So anyway, not that we're not already really, if you think about it, in the bonus section. We can officially go into a bonus section now because no more questions came through. So we can go into a bonus section.
Okay. Are we good?
I don't know. Are we? I don't know. I feel like you zoned out there for a second.
I was reading the chat.
So.
All right.
I don't know. Sure. Uh-huh. Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Daddy.
Yes, baby girl.
Can we just continue talking to the crickets?
We can continue talking to the crickets.
So my fear is, I said we'll see you next week, but you and I have to talk about when every quarter, every 3 months, we try to take a week off. And it's mostly a week off of content creation. The kinkery is still going. Okay. Yeah. We're still going to ship orders. We're still going to make product. But we like chill out with everything else. And March is the last month of the quarter for us.
Oh.
And we haven't picked a week. So I say we'll see you next week, but we haven't picked a week yet. But... so the youngest is on online virtual school and so doesn't really get a spring break per se. But the oldest is on spring break next week and wants to come home. I don't think it's going to last as long as he thinks he's going to be here. He thinks he's going to be here for a solid week. And I mm-hmm. think he's going to be sick of our shit in about 72 hours.
Right.
But I'm not telling him, no, come on home, baby. Let's. Right. It's fine. Yes, you can use my car. So next week,
he does have to work several days,
right? And he works.
School's out, but he still has
right,
work.
And he has to. It'll be like an hour drive commute. He's like, I'll put gas in the car. Yeah, you fucking will.
Yep.
I was like, and you will drive my car as if you are the one who's going to pay for the ticket if you get one. He was like, yes, I will. okay, yeah. Then you can commute. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, do we want to take the week off while they're both, like the youngest, if he will get his shit together this week, he won't actually have to do much at all next week because he'll be in between some stuff. And the oldest will be sort of off. So do we take the break that week? Do we take it the next? What do we do? We haven't decided. So I say we'll see you next week. Yeah. We might have lied.
Well, you know what? That might be a good, next week might be the good time to take the break then.
Except we need to record a thing that we're doing for another thing coming in. Right. So see, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what the answer is.
But that's only sit down and record a video.
Still work. That's what I'm saying. We just need to look at a calendar. I don't even know.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the oldest, and the fact that I have no sense of time most of the time. How do calendars work? What are dates? He has a concert Thursday of this week, March 7th, that we've known about for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. Whole family's planning on going. Whole family, the three of us. Great. And then several days ago, I get a text from the oldest, and he goes, I have another concert this Wednesday for Brass Band, which is like a special something that he's been doing. And I was like, okay, I don't think it'll be all of us, but I will at least be there for Wednesday. And then it was today that I realized how days work, and that I realized that I'll be driving to Gainesville tonight. And these things are always like 7-something at night, and then it takes a while, and then it's, we're never home before 10, so I am driving to Gainesville to see a concert tonight, Wednesday, day of recording, and then tomorrow night, Jamie's like, I'm not fucking going, and then tomorrow night, we are going again for another late night, and I'm too old for late nights in the middle of the week. I'm just not built that way anymore. I'm going. Look, the kid doesn't want any, he doesn't even ask for fucking money. Every once in a while, is like, can you drive me to a grocery store so I can buy more than two things that I can put in a backpack? And can you come to my performances? And when he tells me about a performance, I know he wants somebody there. I'm fucking going. We live close enough. There's no reason not to. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited, except I hate driving in the dark these days. I don't handle it the way I did 20 years ago. I can and I will.
Yeah, I
so cannot, I'm not looking forward to that part.
I love seeing him perform.
Yeah.
I love going to the concerts. The music is amazing. And the concert hall is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a wonderful place to sit and listen to the music and watch everybody perform. But it's
a lot.
It is a lot. And, you know, the last few times, it's been 12, 1 o'clock in the morning by the time we roll home.
Right.
And then
get up the next
morning and work.
I can't
do it like that anymore. I just can't.
No. And I'm not going to be for shit on Thursday, and by Friday, even fucking worse, right? Like, I already know that. I'm going to do it anyway because he didn't ask for a lot. He asked for this. I'm going. It's easy. It's an easy yes for me. That doesn't stop my little anxious heart from already in my head going, okay, when you make the drive, you know where you're going to turn, and you know the parking garage you're going to go in, and then you know exactly what the direction is you're going to walk. And I am not going up to the fucking balcony to watch. I'm staying on ground level because I don't have anybody who loves me to catch me if and when I fall down the stairs. So I'm already mentally mapping out the entire journey so that I can stay calm during the actual journey. And I've already warned the 18-year-old. I'm like, you know how we normally like go to Culver's and we do a thing and we hang out? I cannot do that on Wednesday because I'll be back on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We could do it on Thursday. Yeah.
Be Your Haven? Yes, it is. That is old age. That has come around full circle from when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I used to go out to the bars and party all night long, go home, change clothes,
And go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I never lived that life. I was living like an old lady life in my 20s, but I did have more energy in my 20s and was, I've never been a free spirit, but I was more willing to do some things that I could kind of pretend might have been spontaneous, even though I'd been thinking about them for a week. And I would, where do you want to go? It's midnight. Let's drive. I can go. Oh, we're doing a road trip and we're going to be on the road for 12 hours. Let's go. Can do this. Oh, I had to be at work at 5 o'clock this morning and we're going to go for queso and margaritas after work and not going to get done till midnight. Cool. There. Gonna do the damn thing. That girl does not exist anymore. She is tired.
Back in those same days, I would drive from when I lived in Tampa Bay at that time to upstate New York, 22 hours from start to finish.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't even think about doing that anymore.
Road trips these days are max drive for 8 hours. We will have taken an hour break every time we stop, plus the pee and the stand-up breaks in between. I totally get it. Not there anymore.
It was hilarious. When I'd leave like 3 o'clock in the morning, and that would, I did that because that would put me in the sweet time to get through Washington. Without hitting rush hour, but I'd get a thermos of coffee to start out with, and a bag full of snacks that I could just munch as I'm driving, and off I would go.
There have been times I did not have the luxury of this, but my road trips were when I was 20, and now that I'm 40 something. We gonna stop for a drinky drink. I'll bring snacks for when we're in a place where we literally cannot stop, but I'm going to buy a snacky snack. We are stopping for at least one meal on the road. Minimum one meal. I don't need a lot of bathroom breaks. Mm-hmm. I don't need a lot of breaks to just stand and stretch my legs. I'm happy to be in the car for 12 hours, like the length of driving that day, right? But we will stop for drinky drinks. Mm-hmm. We will stop for snacks. We will stop for a meal.
Yeah.
I lived the life as a kid of getting in the car for the road trip with, especially my grandparents. I used to go on all kinds of trips with them, road trips with them as a kid. And we were the family that pulled under the overpass and ate our bologna and cheese sandwiches on the side of the highway. Because there was no stopping. There was no getting snacky snacks. Nobody was going to lunch, right? and, I mean, I didn't love it then. Mm-hmm. I've always been a drinky drink, snacky snack kind of girl. But there was something about it as I got older that I was like, if I can't just... Even if it's just McDonald's and it's the dollar menu, y'all. If I can't go get some, I don't want to go on the road trip. I'm no longer built for, it's a luxury. To me, it's a luxury. Now, would I do a road trip if I didn't have the money and I had to bring my own snacks, I had to bring my own drinks because I had to get to a place and couldn't catch a flight? Yes, that's different. Yeah. But if we're calling this a vacation, a trip, I'm choosing to do this, then we are budgeting in my Dunkin' and my Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the same now because I haven't looked. I've not really had any reason to or desire, but then there came a point where air flight up to New York was way cheaper than the gas and wear and tear and driving.
JetBlue, Spirit, those places. I mean,
so, and 2.5 hours is compared to 22-23 hours driving. Right. Yeah,
I never, when I finally started flying for any reason, I never got to go to a place that was a straight shot. Because I never lived really in a place where you could get a straight shot. So it wasn't technically, a couple hours flying time total to get to the place I wanted to go. Sure. Mm-hmm. But what we had to do first was leave from wherever, completely bypass the location, go to a further out airport. Maybe Atlanta, maybe Charlotte, and then come back down to where we were trying to go, including, I think, if I recall, even in Florida to make the connecting flight. So what could have been an 8-hour drive and was technically maybe 2 hours of flight time was still an 8-hour day because of layovers. So, I don't know. But if it was cheaper.
Yeah.
Thing is, we don't travel. anymore. I mean, there's the money thing and there's the where do we want to go. And once COVID hit and there wasn't really going anywhere, we have places we definitely want to go.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we've talked about it. We've thought it through. We've even priced it out. It's just not an option mm-mm. right now. So we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I do still remember, I'd be like, okay, it's a Friday afternoon. Maybe I got off work early. Maybe I took the day off. Where are we going this weekend? Let's just get in the car. And I would just drive. I don't know who that girl is anymore. I mean, but I still, yeah. That was when you could still get your Diet Coke for $1, though. And there was a dollar menu at McDonald's
yeah.
or wherever. So mm-hmm. you could do it for, and gas was under $2 a gallon or whatever. Like, it was just easier.
Yeah.
But, so, anyway, what else is going on with us? Anything?
Not that I can think.
Just same old, same old.
Yeah.
The youngest is being the youngest. The oldest is performing his brains out. And we're working. So, ta-da! Lola is snoring in the background.
Yeah.
As if she has worked a double. And I don't know where the cats are, but they're probably wreaking havoc wherever they are.
Right, right. They're too quiet.
Yeah, they are too quiet. They are too quiet. They are too quiet.
Yes, indeed.
And it's starting to warm up in this office.
It is.
And this perimenopausal person is
starting
not,
to feel it,
huh? is not loving it. So I think that's a good sign that maybe.
That's a good place to.
We should be done.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thanks for being here with us, mm-hmm. especially if you stay to the bitter end. For anybody who asked your question, thank you for that. We appreciate that. We don't do Q&As that often anymore because we do a Q&A every week now. Right. So, mm-hmm. but this was fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe we'll be on break next week. I don't mm-hmm. fucking know. I'll let you know as soon as I know.
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right.
That's it for us. Bye.
Bye.